God, you good? Because we live in such a dangerous world today, I thought you would appreciate Mark Morin's advice on how to stay safe. After doing some extensive research, he suggests the following. Avoid riding in automobiles because they're responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur at home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians.
Gotta do that.
Avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals. Above all else, avoid hospitals. However, Morin says, you'll be pleased to learn that only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services. These are related usually to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you to be at any given point in time is at church. Hallelujah. Now, that's all tongue in cheek, but it does raise an important question. Why do we worship? Why do we worship? Why does Pastor Jerry spend so much time talking about worship? Do we worship because we feel safe and warm in the sanctuary? Or is there a much grander purpose for our worship? Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you just take these few minutes and speak into our being, our soul, our spirit. Speak deep into our very essence, Lord. Lord, you designed worship. You asked us to praise you. Don't let us miss the chance to be in a deeper fellowship with you, Lord. Help us to hear your voice. And we thank you today. Minister in this house in Jesus' name. And let every one of us, when we leave today, know that we've been in the presence of our Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we pray. Use this vessel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I'd like us to examine the power of praise as we use it, and we're going to use the book of Revelation. Let it enlighten us some. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Revelation 19 as we consider the power to praise. The power to praise. In Sunday school today, they used part of this chapter, and I said, hey, that's in my message. So I know God was in the in the same wavelength that Daniel made today. Revelation 19, I want to start with verse 1, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. We're going to go through verse 4 here to begin. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Yes. Verse 2, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Verse 3, and again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Let's stop there for right now. We'll continue with that chapter in just a minute. There's no doubt that all of heaven praises the Lord. In this passage of Scripture, three times they shout Hallelujah. Not once, not twice, but three times in these first four verses. And then the heavenly hallelujah chorus carries on for another hallelujah in verse 6. And we'll get there in just a minute. But why is heaven so excited? Why are they so ecstatic? Because God has finally judged that wicked harlot at the end of the tribulation period. He has condemned the great prostitute, verse 2 exclaims. In other words, he has vengeance on the Babylonian Empire or this world system. Amen? For the way she's exploited God's people over the ages. Heaven praises God for his righteous judgments. Heaven praises God for his absolutely just and fair response to those who have mistreated and violated God's people. I often think about the thousands of Christians who have been martyred, imprisoned, and tortured for their faith, but are now safe in the arms of Jesus. But when I consider others, like the Muslims, who have sought to destroy Christianity, even killing themselves sometimes, believing in the fallacy that they will receive 70 virgins in paradise, only to discover no virgins and no paradise. Today they're in a place of constant torment, and one day they'll stand before the righteous judge who will cast them into an eternal place of fire.
Amen.
You see, there's coming a day when God will right all wrongs. There's coming a day when God will judge all evildoers. In Romans 12:19 it says, Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. As God's people, it is not our place to seek revenge. We don't ever need to get even, because at the right time, God himself will even the score. It's probably going to be sooner than we think. All of heaven praises God for his righteous judgments. For his righteous judgments. And we are invited to do the same. In verse number 5 in the NIV, I put New Living in all of this, but I'm going to read the NIV. It says, Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Heaven calls upon all of God's people to praise him. Praise him. We did a little of that this morning. Amen. Just a little hint of praise and worship. And it was great. It was great. So first we praise him for his righteous judgments. He judges correctly. He judges righteously. And then we praise him that he reigns supreme. Rejoice, because our God is in control of all things. In verse 6 of chapter 19, It says, and then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Amen. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of a mighty ocean waves, or the crash of a loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. There's so much shouting and so much praise that it sounds like the great Niagara Falls with its tons and tons of water rushing over that precipice every moment. If you've ever heard been to Niagara Falls, you know you got to shout.
Yes.
You can't be heard in any voice less than a shout. The noise is deafening. And saints, that's what praise in heaven is going to be like.
Yes.
It's going to be deafening. Amen. And the praises will be awesome as they reverberate through the air. Countless numbers of God's angels and God's people will be praising with all their might. Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Saints, let's have a little rehearsal right now and get ready for that awesome praise service to come. Amen? On the count of three, I want you to shout with me, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Are you ready? Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Do it again.
Hallelujah,
for our Lord God Almighty reigns. One more time. Amen.
Hallelujah,
for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Remember that when it seems like your world is out of control. Remember that when it seems like evildoers have the upper hand. Remember that when it seems you have lost all hope, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Amen. He is the Almighty. Fear not, for our God reigns. That's what Daniel Walker discovered when he tried to infiltrate brothels. Gather evidence to rescue women and children from the sex trafficking trade. In his book, God in a Brothel, Walker describes how he overcame his initial fears with a deep-seated confidence in God's sovereign rule, even in a despicable brothel. He writes, I had not been conducting investigations into sex trafficking for very long, and being inside a brothel still left me feeling vulnerable and afraid. I was afraid of my own sinful nature. I was afraid of the perpetrators and corrupt officials who were profiting from organized crime. And I was afraid of going into what I perceived as enemy territory. But as Walker closed his eyes and prayed, suddenly God completely changed his perspective. He says, a still small voice reminded me that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Then the words of an old hymn came to mind. This is my Father's world. Again, he says, I saw for the first time that the brothel I was standing in was as much a part of God's creation as any beautiful mountain or crystal cathedral, and that God had in no way surrendered it to anyone. Walker declared, I knew that God was in that brothel before I arrived. Suffering with victims of sexual trafficking, witnessing their defilement night after night, and sharing in their tears, and that he would remain in that brothel long after I left. Any uncertainty I previously had about walking into such a dark and evil place vanished. Though not in an audible sense, Walker says, I nevertheless heard his command and is called to go boldly in his name to such places as these to rescue the oppressed, amen, defend the orphan, and to plead for the widow.
Hallelujah.
God has not surrendered any part of his creation to anyone. He is large and in charge, no matter where he leads us, even if it is into the very gates of hell. And Jesus promised that those gates will not prevail against his church. So don't be afraid. Praise God for his righteous judgments. Praise God for his reign over all the earth. And praise God for what he's doing in your heart and life today. Praise the Lord for getting you ready to spend eternity with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. That's us, folks, the Church of Jesus Christ. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride, the Church, has prepared herself. And then in verse 8 and 9, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. I think that's cool. Then the angel said to me in verse 9, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Heaven sees us as a beautiful bride. I know that's hard for some of you to believe. Jesus is ready to marry its most loved and respected citizen. For us to marry his most loved and respected citizen. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he has provided for us the finest clothes to wear, bright and clean, fit for a king's new queen. Joni Erickson Tada, who was paralyzed in a diving accident as a teenager, talks about her wedding day. I felt awkward as my girlfriend strained to shift my paralyzed body into a cumbersome wedding gown. No amount of corseting and binding my body gave me a perfect shape. The dress just didn't fit well. Then as I was wheeling into the church, I glanced down and noticed that I accidentally run over the hem of my dress, leaving a greasy tire mark. My paralyzed hands couldn't hold the bouquet of daisies that lay off center on my lap. And my chair, though decorated for the wedding, was still a big, clunky gray machine with belts and gears and ball bearings. I certainly didn't feel like the picture-perfect bride in a bridal magazine. I inched my chair closer to the last pew to catch a glimpse of Ken in front. There he was, standing tall and stately in his formal attire. I saw him looking for me, craning his neck to look up the aisle. My face flushed, and I suddenly couldn't wait to be with him. I had seen my beloved. The love in Ken's face had washed away all my feelings of unworthiness.
Amen.
I was his pure and perfect bride. That's how Jesus sees us.
Amen.
We who are believers in him. He loves us with the bright eyes of a bridegroom's love. And he cannot wait for the day that we're united with him forever.
Yes.
He's getting us ready for that day now. He has provided us with the white wedding dress of his own righteousness. And we are all in the process of putting it on. It's taken some time, but we have God's guarantee that we will be ready for that day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise him, folks, for his righteous judgments. Praise him for his sovereign reign. And praise him for preparing us for an eternity with Jesus. Worship the Lord today and every day. Verse number 10. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus.
In the New Living, it says, then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Don't worship the angels. Don't worship the angels. Worship Jesus. The Bible declares him as Lord and Savior and soon coming King.
Amen.
Worship the Lord and then go forth being endued with Holy Spirit power to win the war against the evil forces of this world. That's how heaven does it. We should worship and glorify Jesus, and then Jesus will go before us to conquer his enemies.
Yes.
In verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. That's the NIV. Here's the New Living. Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. The rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. That's Jesus Christ. He's the one that's faithful and true. He is the one you can depend on.
Amen.
He's a man of real integrity.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? In verse 12 in the NIV it says, his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. In the Living it says, his eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. Listen, folks, he's incomprehensible. He's incomprehensible. Man cannot decipher, understand, or explain the workings of God. Now, someone once said, God is a lot like our pastor. I don't see him during the week, and I don't understand him on Sundays.
Ouch.
I hope that's not your opinion of me, but in some ways it's true of Jesus our Lord. Amen. He is invisible. We can't see him. And he sure is difficult to understand at times. But that's because he is incomprehensible. In verse 13 and 14 NIV, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Verse 14, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies of heaven, that's us. That's us, folks. Back in verse 8, we have been given our garments for the wedding feast. Mm-hmm. Now in this verse, we are wearing those same garments as we go forth to war alongside our Savior. In verse 15, it says, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. New Living says, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. Jesus is not only a man of integrity. Jesus is not only incomprehensible. Jesus is invincible. His word is like a large sword. He can speak a word and whole nations could be annihilated. Verse 16 says, on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord, reigning supreme with all power and authority. He alone is the King of the universe. Amen. He's the King of the universe. In Bible days, when a Roman general returned from a successful military campaign, he and his legions paraded up the main street of Rome.
The general himself was mounted on a white horse, and he rode at the head of his troops. Then came the wagon loads of plunder that he had taken from the conquered nation. The chained captives followed last in the parade. They were marching toward their execution. That's exactly the picture we have here in Revelation 19. Jesus is the conquering general, returning to this earth on a white horse, where he will lead his enemies away to their execution. Now, these next three verses would most probably be rated R. Verse 17 through 20. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come gather together for the great supper of God." Verse 18, "So that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small." Verse 19, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army." Verse 20, "But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fire lake of burning sulfur." The first two enemies Jesus will eliminate are the beast and his false prophet. The beast being the Antichrist and the false prophet being his PR man. In verse 21, "The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh." When Jesus first came to this earth, he was on a search and rescue mission. He came to seek and save those that were lost. When Jesus comes again, he will be on a search and destroy mission. He will come to seek and destroy all those who have opposed him. Jesus will get the victory over all his enemies. But it will all begin with a praise service in heaven. And that's the way it should be. Praise always precedes power. Praise always precedes power. Worship is always a prelude to victory. Hear me, saints. Worship is always a prelude to victory. In the Old Testament, the priests and the Levites, along with the singers of Israel, marched before the armies into victory. Here in Revelation 19, the heavenly hallelujah chorus precedes the armies of heaven as they march to victory on this earth. And brothers and sisters, that's why the worship of the church is so important. It's so vital. If we don't gather to praise and worship, we have no power. Each of us should be here Sunday after Sunday to experience victory over sin, victory over the devil's assaults against us. You cannot live the Christian life all by yourself. You need the corporate worship experience of the body of Christ. There's no power without it. In addition, we as your church family need your presence here week after week, because the church cannot expect to prevail against the gates of hell if we don't worship together. We cannot enter Satan's territory and rescue people out of the kingdom of darkness without the power that our corporate worship brings. The Holy Spirit is activated by your praise and worship. Consequently, there's no power without worship. Amy Carmichael put it this way: "I believe that if we are to be and to do for others what God means us to be and to do, we must not let adoration and worship slip into second place. For it is the central service asked by God of human souls, and its neglect is responsible for much lack of spiritual depth and power. Perhaps we may find here the reason why we so often run dry. We do not give time enough to what makes for depth, and so we are shallow. a wind, quite a little wind, can ruffle our surface. A little hot sun and all the moisture in us evaporates. It should not be so. Worship is what gives us spiritual depth. Worship is what gives us the power to really live. So worship the Lord continuously, as often as possible, and then go out with Jesus and win the war. Amen. Several years ago, 2005, Chinese officials from the Public Security Bureau in China burst into a Sunday school room at a local church. They found 30 children inside and herded them into a van. Despite the scary situation, one child started to sing. In a few moments, the van was filled with song. Upon arrival at the police station, the children marched bravely into the interrogation room, still singing to the Lord. The Chinese officers attempted to force the children to write, "I do not believe in Jesus," telling them that they had to write it 100 times before they would be released. Mm-hmm. Instead of obeying, the children wrote, "I believe in Jesus today. I will believe in Jesus tomorrow. I will believe in Jesus forever." Amen. Exasperated, the officials called the children's parents, some of whom did deny Christ. However, one widowed believer absolutely refused to deny Jesus when she came to pick up her twin sons. The officer threatened her, saying, "If you do not deny Jesus, we will not release your sons." The widow replied, "Well, I guess you would just have to keep them, because without Jesus, there'd be no way for me to take care of them." With no avenues left open to them, the officials said, "Take your sons and go. Take your sons and go." There is power in praise. Power in praise. Those Chinese officials were obviously baffled, not knowing how to deal with these singing children. They weren't even able to respond to the parents, who were determined to praise the Lord no matter what. Brothers and sisters, the enemy is powerless in the context of praise.
Hallelujah.
He won't even get by it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord lives in our praise.
Yes.
And Satan will vamoose. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices loud, your anthems raise.
Thank you.
Do you consider yourself a worshiper? I pray that today you are convinced that worship will change your life.
Amen.
And alter your circumstances. There is power in praise.
Amen.
There is victory in praise. It's the one thing God asked of his people.
Amen.
Praise me.
Yes.
Praise me. Praise me. I want you to stand and we're going to sing a song together. Amen. Let me get a swig of water here, Joel. Hallelujah. Go ahead, man.
Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus give glory, power, and praise. Majesty, King of authority, flows from His throne unto His own. His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flows from His throne unto His own. His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Shout to the Lord! Yeah. Shout to the Lord! Praise God! Hallelujah! 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 Praise you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus! Glory to God!
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah! Lord, align us with that heavenly hallelujah chorus. Let us praise, openly praise Jesus. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, visit your people. Give us the courage to actively praise your name.
Yes, Lord, please.
Praise you as a creator God that created everything. Bonnie talked about all of nature today. Lord, you created that, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, we need to praise you. And when we're taken home, all of nature's going to be released from the sin's curse that's on it now. Oh, praise you, Jesus, that we'll have that new Jerusalem. We'll have that new way of life, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, open our hearts up to see what you do for us, what you've done for us. And who you really are, Lord.
Yes.
So that we can praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. There's power in our praise.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God love you. I love you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.